686-2237.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. David Smith of Newswatch magazine. And Dr. Smith has been out there on the front lines trying to awaken people for many years. I've read his news magazine. I feel a familiar spirit there, a sense of some... And certainly somebody who is working for the same goals we are. And so I thought I'd ask Dr. Smith to come on our program and share with us his concerns about what's going on today. Thank you so very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Why don't you just give your view of what's happening today and what we can do about it?
Well, basically what has happened is they've been working for international socialism in secret. They've infiltrated every quarter, every corridor of power in the United States, whether it's political, educational, religiously, and so on. And they now think they have their agenda in place, so they put their man in office, so that they could speed the process of socialization of America, and it's certainly working right now.
Well, now, who are they when you refer to them? I mean, who is really behind this whole effort to bring about this socialist America in a socialist world?
Well, in 1993, Representative James Traficant stood upon the floor of Congress and said that they were there ready for overseeing the greatest bankruptcy in world history, the United States government. And it went bankrupt March 9th, 1933. He said that we now were only operating in name only as a constitutional form of government. That the receivers, who were the international bankers that controlled the Federal Reserve System, the International Monetary Fund, which is a part of the United Nations organization, were the ones who have now taken over the government of the United States in secret. And he said that they had determined that they were going to have a new form of government for America. So in 1933, they hired a man by the name of Charles Merriam. And he is the one who laid out the program to gradually socialize America, starting with the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration and the New Deal. And they have continued the socialization and the changing of the Constitution and taken away our constitutional rights ever since. And so we now are at the place where it's either the American people wake up, or it'll be like Nikita Khrushchev said, they will give us little doses of socialism until one day the American people will wake up and find they have communism.
But why would people of great wealth want socialism? Isn't socialism about redistribution of the wealth?
Well, it is, but they are the ones who will control the businesses. And so they will be the rich because they will be the government.
And they're the ones who will be redistributing our wealth, not their wealth. I think that's, and certainly, what was the date of that speech by James Traficant?
James Traficant from Ohio.
Right.
He was a representative, and he was a junior.
Was that what, 1993?
Yes, 1993.
And, of course, James Traficant is in prison today, I really believe, on totally trumped-up charges.
Oh, they were totally trumped up. They had to silence him because he was telling the American people the truth.
It's so hard for the average American to believe that could really happen in America. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. David Smith, and Dr. Smith has a ministry. He was on radio for many years, and now he does a lot of television. He has his programs can be picked up certainly on cable channel across America, and he's having a tremendous outreach. And we each have our own outreach, but Dr. Smith's message is very, very similar to ours. And he was just saying that there is a group of very wealthy people, specifically the international bankers, who want a socialist America in a socialist world. And, of course, it's very hard for the average individual to understand why people of great wealth like the bankers would want to have socialism. And when I asked Dr. Smith that, his comment was, well, it's simply that they're the ones who are going to be controlling the businesses and controlling the wealth, and so they don't care. You know, all this talk about redistribution of wealth, that's our wealth, not their wealth. And so, and of course, Dr. Smith says that the American people have got to wake up. Do you think that they are waking up at all? Do you see any signs of that in the people that you're reaching?
Yes, and to be exact, when they had the April 15th Tea Parties, that showed that the American people was waking up. There were 50 of those Tea Parties here in the state of Texas. I went to one as an observer to see what was going on. They just had another one here July 4th, and there were 37,000 people there.
37,000 people. See, I wonder why we didn't hear about that. You get 15 gays together with their signs, and why every network in the country covers it?
Because they control, and they are the ones who are controlled by the international bankers, so they only put out the news that they want to go out to the American people. They want to actually make Christianity look stupid, and the people look crazy, and all patriots, which basically most of them are Christians, and so that's what they're doing. They use the news media to demonize all those who are objecting to their new form of government, just like Joseph McCarthy was demonized when he found the communist movement, the plan in Congress, State Department.
Yes, they certainly did a good hatchet job on poor old Joe McCarthy, and his big mistake was going into the hospital. I interviewed the doctor who examined him when he went into the hospital in Bethesda. He was very healthy when he went in, and 4 days later, he was dead. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Dr. David Smith was just telling us that there in Texas, where he lives, there was one a Texas Tea Party on the 4th of July. 37,000 people there, and I sure didn't hear about that. And this is the sort of pattern. When you have conservatives and patriots and people who love America holding large mass meetings, you very, very seldom see that covered in the major media. So you pick up the story there, Dr. Smith. Anyway, first, Dr. Smith thinks that there is an awakening. People are beginning to realize something's wrong, but you think that they're able to tie it into organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, and what part do those organizations play as far as the banking industry is concerned? Do these people control the banks? Do the banks control those organizations? How does it work?
The banks control all these organizations. All these organizations are nothing but front for the international bankers. The bankers write out the program and give it to their stooges, I call them, and they're the individuals who carry it out so that they will get the blame, like George W. Bush did, and like Obama will eventually, but it's not him. He's just reading the cue cards. It's the bankers that remain behind the scenes. They're the ones that control the Council on Foreign Relations. David Rockefeller, international banker, who said in his memoirs, right toward the end of it, he said that he was proud of working for a world government. And if people accused him of it, he's guilty. Well, that's admission that these bankers are working for it. And they want to now have, because of this manufactured crisis in America, they want to turn over the Federal Reserve System, the SEC, the Securities Exchange, and so on. They want to turn over all financial institutions to the International Monetary Fund. Well, of course, that's controlled by the international bankers, which mostly are from Europe. And so, once again, we're going to have Europeans controlling us. And we fought the war for independence to get away from the European intrigues. But here we are again, practically right back where we were before.
And, Chris, people really find that hard to believe. But let me just give that quotation that Dr. Smith referred to. Some even believe we, this is David Rockefeller writing on page 405 of his book, Memoirs, some even believe we, referring to the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States. Characterizing my family and me as internationalists that are conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. Now, that comes from page 405 of David Rockefeller's memoirs, which we carry. You would think that Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or some of the other conservatives would have told the American people about that quotation, that admission by David Rockefeller that he is part of a secret cabal that is conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. And then he goes on to say, and if that's the charge, I stand guilty and am proud of it. What better admission could there ever be? And here's, of course, the man who, his family, their trusts owned, have a large segment of J.P. Morgan, Chase Bank, of Morgan Stanley, of many of our major banks, pharmaceutical companies, airlines. I mean, there's hardly anything in the United States that they don't dominate to one or another degree, and yet the average person honestly believes that Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the richest people in the United States. Have you ever sort of chuckled at that, Dr. Smith?
Yeah, and they like to make people believe that. But the problem is, those who are working for this one world government said a long time ago when they were approaching the completion of their kingdom, they would start having businesses to merge, and they would be the ones who would be able to weather the storm, the economic storm that's going to hit the world. All other businesses would not be able to make it economically, but they would, because they would have one business built upon another, connected with another. And so you see all these major corporations, you can hardly even find who the directors are and who owns what part of it, because they have it so well hidden. And we've seen business after business go out because of the current contrived economic problems.
And I think that's what's really so important for people to understand. This economic problem is contrived. How do you create the economic problem? Why the major banks just stop lending money? They've got plenty of money to lend. They can create money out of nothing. Certainly when you are a bank, why, you can leverage, and the investment bank could leverage, you know, not just 10 to 1, in other words, lend 10 times as much money as they had. They could lend 40 to 1, 50 to 1, 60 to 1. They could create money out of nothing. It's a wonderful game when you're the bankers. And, of course, the other thing is you create all this credit, and then you've got all these people owing you money, and when they can't pay it back, you simply seize what they put up as collateral. And it's so difficult for people to understand that this is all contrived. The Federal Reserve is doing everything they can, of course, to perpetuate it by paying interest on the deposits from the small banks. Small banks are frightened to death to lend because they've got so many bad mortgages. So they're putting all their deposits in with the Federal Reserve, which for the first time in history is paying the interest on those reserves and taking probably close to close to $500 billion out, $500 billion out of the lending pool. And the average individual has no idea what's going on. Do you think that they really understand this is contrived, David?
No, very few people understand economics at all. They don't understand the usury system where, you know, every dollar that goes into existence, there is interest that has to be paid on it. And if it's 4% that year, well, 4 out of 100 eventually are going to go bankrupt because there is not money that is manufactured or created to pay the interest. So the interest just keeps growing and growing. That's why we have over 1/3 of our national debt goes to just pay the interest. When if people thought logically that the Constitution says only Congress can coin money and regulate the value. And if Congress did it, they're not a bank. So there's no interest involved. We would be debt-free in the most prosperous nation in the world. At one time, we were. We didn't have a central bank for about 100, 120 years till the Federal Reserve finally got control. And we prospered beyond all belief. But ever since, the Federal Reserve has been in business, and they've controlled our money. Within 20 years, March 9, 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared the United States bankrupt. They took us off the gold standard, and then there was nothing but fiat money. I actually had a $100 bill. It was a silver certificate. United States, not Federal Reserve. I took it to the Federal Reserve Bank in St. Louis, Missouri, asked them for $100 worth of silver. They laughed at me. They had no concept these were the people that were just the tellers in the bank. And when I went to the Bank of England, they actually had guards that ushered me out the door. This is how private these systems are. They don't want anybody to find out how much control they have over the economy. They determine what kind of a car you're going to drive. They're going to determine what kind of a house, the cost of it you're going to live in, by either lowering or raising the interest rates. That's why every time the head of the Federal Reserve goes up to Washington to go into a Senate or House meeting, they tremble. Because they're always talking about is going to lower the interest rate or raise it. When if they would do exactly what the Constitution said, and Congress create money and set the value, and it even gives the amount that is to be in each coin of gold or silver, then we would be totally debt-free.
Well, it's really very interesting. Apparently, recently, why Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, was testifying before Congressman. Congressman Duncan asked him about this suggestion that there be an audit of the Federal Reserve Bank, which, of course, is a privately owned private bank that controls our economy and is working to impoverish our people. Well, when Congressman Duncan made that request, what do you think about this audit? Why, Ben Bernanke said, well, of course, if they were auditors and Congress began to direct what we were doing, there would be a massive financial collapse of the entire economy. And it was just basically a threat, and you could just see all the congressmen cringing, you know, they'd be responsible for financial collapse. Well, we already have a financial collapse. It's been brought about by these people who have never been audited by anyone. They've been audited by their own internal audit. That's sort of like Bernie Madoff having audits all the time on his Ponzi scheme, and that's exactly what the Federal Reserve does. But if we try to rein them in, they will collapse our economy just exactly as the Second Bank of the United States did back in the 1830s. And if you haven't read the farewell address by Andrew Jackson, we carry that in our newsletters. And they simply collapsed the economy. They destroyed cities. They destroyed industries. They destroyed everything in America to punish the people for daring to challenge their control. But Andrew Jackson said, I'm going to end the bank, and he did.
There is a great concern right now that many businesses will go bankrupt in America. We, as the average American people, already know it when we go to the mall. There's one of these malls, it's not just a shopping mall, but one of these discount malls, just about 35 miles from where I live, and 50% of the businesses are gone.
And I think it's going to get a lot worse. I think that probably in the next couple of weeks, when the second quarter earnings come out, from the corporate earnings come out, why, they're going to be so bad that they'll probably have a real impact on the stock market. Of course, they manipulate the stock market. They manipulate commodities. They manipulate gold. They manipulate oil. And the average American honestly thinks that you can invest in the stock market and make money. You only make it when they want you to make it, and they will, of course, eventually impoverish the American people.
Have you ever heard of the city in downtown London, England?
Oh, sure. You know, that is the most amazing place. Why don't you tell our listeners about it? Because most people have never heard of the city.
Yeah, my wife and I went with another couple, and we went to England and went down to the city. It's the business hub. And when you go into the city, there is a dragon on every corner, up on a pole. And they have been weather-worn, but some of them still had some red painting on them. They were red dragons, but over the centuries, the paint has worn off. And when the Queen or King of England, whichever it might be, goes into the financial hub, they have to bow to the mayor of the city, not the other way around, because they are the financial hub of the world. They set the price of gold every day. And it is just amazing to go there and see all the businesses and buildings that are there with all the different names on them. And that's when we went into the Bank of England. It's sort of like our Federal Reserve, and they ushered us out very quickly.
Well, did you ask them questions? They just did they know who you were?
Well, we went in and said, we would like to exchange American dollars for the British pound. And boy, they took us and said, we don't do that here. And they took us out the door and all the way to the sidewalk, and made sure that we walked away before they went back in.
Well, the amazing thing about the city is it's a walled city. It has its own government. It has its own mayor. It has its own little army. You know, it's all figurative, of course. But basically, they really run the finances of the world from the city. And most Americans, I've never actually heard of it. But I think it's so vitally important that they do and understand how all of these financial organizations work together. In fact, our good friend Joan Vian has just come out with a new DVD entitled When the Central Banks Rule the World. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but she really did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, that's true. And they want to bring all these banking systems under the United Nations. Now, they control the United Nations. And that's one thing that really got Joseph McCarthy in trouble when he discovered so many communists, and then he discovered so many people in the United Nations.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Dr. David Smith was simply telling us about the city. And during the break, we talked about the city. This is a separate city within the city of London, has its own walls, has its own mayor, has its own army, and has, you know, when the Queen of England comes into the city, she bows to the mayor, not the opposite way, because the real power does not rest with the Queen of England. But with the people who control the Central Bank of England, which has been the dominant force not only in England, but throughout the world, going back to 1694, when William Paterson established the Central Bank of England and allowed, of course, England to gain dominance over the world. And, of course, it was their banking system that sustained Great Britain until the end of the Second World War, when, of course, the leadership of the movement of the war, towards the world government was transferred to the United States. But a great deal of the power still rests there in the city. And certainly, Dr. Smith was simply saying that these people in international finance are really the force behind the United Nations. Would that be a fair estimate?
Yes.
Well, of course, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that nothing as it appears to be. How are we going to reach more people, Dr. Smith?
Well, you can use shortwave, you can use radio, you can use a printed page, and you can use television, which is the most powerful media, and we found that out. And yet, you can't reach everybody. 300 million people in the country now, and you just can't reach everybody, because nobody has enough money so they can go on the different networks. And then many of the networks refuse to carry anything that is called controversial. And so that limits what you can do. But that's exactly what those who are working for world government want. They want to control the media. And then they want to make sure that those that are speaking out, if they get too far out of line, they will come up with something to smear you and make you look like you're just an idiot, and you're a drug addict or whatever, like they did Rush Limbaugh. And so the American people are not going to, as a whole, hear the truth, ever.
Well, but of course, you are one of the few people who really has a large television ministry, which, and I think it's really so important. Would you like to tell our listeners how you why you switched from radio to television?
We were on radio, 50,000 watt stations at night, and especially WWL out of New Orleans, from 10:30 Central Standard Time to midnight, Monday through Friday, for years. And we had a huge listening audience, but then four of these 50,000 watt stations were bought out by big conglomerates. And the first thing they told the managers was to get me off the network. WHO out of Des Moines, Iowa was one of them. WWL was one of them. And there was another one, Crawford Broadcasting, which has stations in the daytime all over the country. And the main one was Denver, Colorado. And so anyway, we decided that we would experiment with television. And we did with one station down in Tampa, Florida, and we got a tremendous response from it. And then a company called us, called us C Broadcasting. They're on DirecTV. And so we're on there Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday at 11 p.m. Central Time. It'd be midnight on the East Coast or 9 o'clock on the West Coast. And since then, our mailing list has literally gone up 850%. We've had over 16,000 people added to our monthly mailing list from just that one network the first 4 months of this year.
Well, you know, God works in strange ways, David. I'm firmly convinced that, you know, even though I must have been a terrible, a blow to you to be forced off those large radio stations, that nobody else is doing what you're doing on television. And so, he closed one door, he opened another one. God does work in strange and mysterious ways we will never understand.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because 30 days before WWL gave me a two-week notice, LaCie Broadcasting contacted me and said, we would like to have you on our network. And so we went on it, and we were on both radio and TV at the same time. Then all of a sudden, the notice came, and we had 2 weeks, and we were off the air. But God had already opened up the other one. And what we did that has been so effective...
Hold that thought. We'll get to it in just a moment. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. David Smith, and really go right ahead. You were just saying what made it so effective, and just picked up the thought from there.
What happened was we decided that we would make one-minute commercials so that we could put them on just about any kind of a radio or television station during the day. And so we would take about 40 seconds of something like, did you know that the United Nations organization was founded by international communists? And we would say something like that and then offer a one-year free subscription to our magazine. And so when this opportunity with LaCie came up, then that's on DirecTV. And then we just put 28 and a half minutes together, one commercial after another. And then we would take news clippings of people like Lou Dobbs on CNN, Glenn Beck from Fox, and different people showing the commercial that we stated is happening in the world. Their news program was airing the same thing we were saying. And all of a sudden, we just got tremendous response.
Well, you know, there are an awful lot of people out there that know something's wrong, and they're just looking for somebody who will say what they believe, but they can't find them. Some fellow called our program last night from up around Attica, New York. Just surfing the dial and picked this up. But television is just such a wonderful, wonderful vehicle for accomplishing what you and I and this small handful of people have just taken unto ourselves to try to do something to try to ward off what seems almost to be inevitable. At least we're there, we're getting the message out. But don't you think that certainly there are powerful spiritual forces behind these wicked and evil people who are trying to bring us into a world government?
Oh, absolutely. To be exact, when you look back, and in Genesis, the first thing you see is the serpent. And the serpent's identified in Revelation 12:9 as Satan the devil. He was an angel, and he appeared to them and gave them a false concept of what God was saying to them, and that undermined God's authority in their eyes because they believed what he said. And the human race has done the same thing ever since, and so that's left the door open for this unseen spirit world. One-third of the angels rebelled against God.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we have Dr. David Smith is our guest from Newswatch magazine. David, would you like to put out your telephone number or your website? Tell people how they can listen to your television or watch your television programs and get in touch with your ministry. And then we'll open up our lines here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And we've got Henry on the line from Connecticut. Henry, hang on, we'll get to you in just a moment. But how could people get in touch with your ministry?
Okay, they can call from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Our toll-free number is 800-516-8736. And anybody that's listening and wants to call, we'll give them a one-year free subscription to our magazine.
And actually, a lot of people send me copies of your magazine. They think it's a great magazine. It really is. One more time, get your telephone number out there, please.
Okay, 800-516-8736.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Henry, who's calling us from Connecticut. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for Dr. Smith, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Henry, do you have a question?
Yes. Hi. All right. I'm calling from New England. I wanted to also let you know, too, I'm listening to you on shortwave. I heard him mention about the Queen, and somebody else told me that, too. I'm talking about the banking thing in London, that when the Queen wants to go into the city of London, even though I know there's security and all that, she has to ask for permission or something. And I wanted to know what she... And then Dr. Smith, he mentioned about that she had to bow to the mayor. Can you tell me what book or what book by what author goes through all the detail of that about the proves that the the Queen more or less and the royal family have to be subservient to the financial district of London, because someone else told me that too, and I know it's Rothschild, but I heard you mention that earlier.
We do have a book called The City, and I cannot remember the author, but if you want to call our office, maybe they can locate it for you, because we have bookshelves with all kind of books on them, and maybe they can find that book and give you.
It's just called The City.
Would it be called The Empire of the City?
I believe so.
I think it's called The Empire of the City, and it's a great book.
Oh, it's called The Empire of the City.
The Empire of the City, right?
Oh, okay, and that has to deal with London and the Queen, and
it has to do with the city. That's different than London. I mean, London surrounds it, but this is the center. This is the center of power of the British Empire. This is the center of power of the financial interests of the world. And of course, they attend the meetings in Basel, where they have the Bank for International Settlements. But the real power is there in the city. Okay, anything else, Henry?
Yes, I also wanted to ask tell him also that somebody also sent me shared with me an issue with Newswatch magazine that has a picture of a nuclear bomb on it, but it's blue. It's a blue color, not red, the mushroom, I'm saying. And the face, the cover of the magazine is black. And it described the nuclear blast and the nuclear stuff from ancient Indian texts that happened in India 3,000 years ago.
Right.
And, now that I didn't know about. And when I saw that, that was really a shocker. Because then that was telling me also that this technology with the nuclear stuff, and quite possibly even the genetic engineering, with the stuff with the putting fish genes into corn and so forth, that this technology might be at least 3,000 years old or older, because we read, like in Greek mythology, all those different creatures that had like two heads and this one had wings and all that. Well, they could have been entities from another dimension, but maybe not. It's quite possible they might have been genetically created monsters, because there's a Mothman supposedly that has sightings somewhere in the United States. I don't know whether that's BS or not, but I believe that Mothman might have been some kind of black ops operation, meaning black operation project of the government, of some kind of genetic engineering.
Well, maybe let's get to Dr. Smith's thoughts on what you're saying.
Well, I'm talking about these creatures you hear in Greek mythology. Is it possible they may be genetically engineered?
See, before the flood,
okay,
there's a book of Enoch, and there's also the book of Jasher. The book of Jasher is mentioned twice in the Bible as a historical account. The book of Enoch describes how some angels came down. They actually had intercourse with women, and
okay,
this is where the genetic mixture of angels and humans came that created giants. And they were the ones in mythology, these great giants. But it also says in the book of Jasher, I think it's chapter 4, verse 18, that they spliced, genetic splicing of animals, of plants, and so on. And so they were creating all of these mixed species, and that's what the evolutionists get hold of and say, see, here is an intermediate species. No, it wasn't. It was genetically engineered.
And this was done by these giants.
Yes.
Before the flood, there was a very advanced society. At least everything would suggest there was a very advanced society, and God destroyed that society with the great flood. And of course, this has to do with the story of lost Atlantis that Plato talked about. Whether that is actually true or not, we don't know. But certainly, Plato talked about lost Atlantis and the Great Flood, and then we find the modern-day occultists talking about how that we will reconstitute lost Atlantis, and it's going to be
in America. Yeah. So Francis Bacon and all of them kept talking about it.
Hey, we're going to have to go, Vernon. We've got a whole board, too, but thanks for calling. Let's go to Vernon, calling from Salinas. Hi, Vernon. Question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. You know, I wanted to just comment on that book that he was saying, The Empire of the City. I got that book a long time ago to study the financial base of London, and it's a very, very informative book. I really advise everyone to really go out and get it, because this is the pyramid structure that they're using to control the world. First, you have to control the world through military with the U.S., you have to control it economically through the London, and you have to control it spiritually through the Vatican. And this is what makes the pyramid. But you know what? Besides all that, what we really got to understand is that this is all prophesied in the Bible. And us people really need to get back into the Bible and read these prophecies, because we're living in such a good time right now, Dr. Stan, where we can read our Bible and we can see these prophecies come true. And we have to understand that Christianity is not going to stop these prophecies from coming true. Nothing that you do is going to stop these prophecies coming true. You cannot stop God. This is the Most High's will. And what we need to do is just pray for salvation from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right, let's get Dr. Smith's comment on what you said. I certainly agree with your basic thesis. I think those that were called upon to reach as many people as we can. I think what Dr. Smith is doing and what we're doing is reaching people and putting things into their proper perspective. Dr. Smith, how would you respond to Vernon, who's calling us from Salinas?
Okay. Most people have never taken the time to investigate and look deeply as to what happened to the northern 10 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They were taken into national captivity in 721 to 718 B.C. The tribe of Judah in Jerusalem remained there so that Christ could be born.
Mm-hmm.
The others were the smaller cities were taken into captivity also. Then they began a migration between the Black and the Caspian Sea. And they came to the foothills of the Caucasus Mountains. And the people nicknamed them Caucasians. Then the Asiatics began to push them on across Europe until they settled France, Western Germany. They settled places like Sweden, Denmark. That means the Mark of Dan. They settled Ireland, Scotland, England, and then later on they came on over to the United States. And in 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1 and 2, it says the birthright of national blessings were to go through the two sons of Joseph, but the Messiah would come through Judah. People get it all mixed up. They think Jews are all the Israelites there are in the world. No, they're just a small minority. And when you understand that most of the Bible is talking about the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and the prophecies in the last days pertain to them.
Exactly.
Okay,
it pertains to the house of Israel. You know what? And when, and especially when you go to Revelations, where Jesus says that I know the hard work and the suffering that you've done, and those who say that they are Jews, but they really are not. And I totally believe that these are the Karzai, Eastern Europeans,
well,
that under King Balu,
right.
You know, converted to Judaism back in 740.
Well, Vernon, there are a lot of good Sephardic Jews that, as well. So we don't want to get into the Jewish question because
yeah,
it's
yeah.
totally,
you're right, Dr.
totally
ben,
ineffective.
You're right.
Let's go to Harry calling us
no,
from
well,
Michigan.
Let me finish what
oh,
I was going
go
to
right
say
ahead.
Before we go to Harry. What I was going to say was you have to understand the prophecies that they were basically geared toward the house of Israel that was led by Joseph, who received the double portion of the birthright. Now, anybody can read Genesis chapter 48 and 49. Chapter 48, the two sons of Joseph were blessed by ancient Israel. And Ephraim was to become a commonwealth of nations, a company of nations. And then Manasseh was to become the greatest single nation in history. And their birthright was postponed for 2,520 years because of their sins. Then God was obligated to give them all this great wealth, and here we have it. And now, because of our national sins and we've turned against God, the prophecy says that we are going to lose it all. And it'll take Christ coming to restore us once again.
Well, I hope he comes and comes soon. Anyway, let's go to Harry's calling from Michigan. Hi, Harry. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, first of all, good evening to you both. And that was a perfect segue, Mr. Smith, there, because looking at the last days, like you folks think it's coming right now, or very close, realistically, though, we still are in this world, and we're supposed to, like, fight the evil within the system itself.
You're absolutely right.
And what I'm trying to say is, I've listened to you, Dr. Stan, on and off for many years, whenever I can get your reception. And, Mr. Smith, I used to get your newsletter. I think I should get it again. But I say that because in all these years, it's been about 9 years, I'm talking to people, trying to talk to senators and congressmen, and really smart, intelligent people, okay? Not given to emotionalism and just fanaticism. Quite frankly, even showing them Bob Chapman's newsletters, I can only say in all the years, maybe one person has said, you know what? I see what you're talking about. And I just say, with that kind of return, it doesn't look too good, does it?
No, it doesn't. And here's something that we do here. We have a weekly or a biweekly fax that goes to every representative and senator in Austin, Texas, for the state of Texas, and for Washington, D.C. Every one of these people get our magazine every single month. Kay Bailey Hutchinson, senator in Washington, D.C., responded one time with a general letter that basically said, kiss off, don't bother me. And then I've had two responses from people down in Austin. One of them, Leo Berman, asked me to publish House Concurrent Resolution number 50, which passed, telling the federal government to get out of Texas business and that we are regaining our state's rights. And they followed through with it.
Well, the thing is, Harry, you can't get discouraged. We're not called to win. We're called to do our best. When you recognize it's God's battle, we're to do our best. Are we going to turn things around? If I was a betting man, I'd say no. But we still have to try. In the final analysis, God is going to determine what's happening. Not me. If things were left up to me, why, they'd be a lot different than they are today, but it probably would end in disaster. I'm sure God does have a plan for times like these. And for the people like you who are faithfully getting the message out, I would simply leave you with one thought. There's a wonderful story about a man very much like you who spent his whole life trying to bring others into a personal relationship with our Lord, and in his whole life, he only reached one person. That was Dwight Moody. And Dwight Moody has reached literally millions of people. So don't get discouraged. Just hang in there. You're called not to win, but to do your best. Okay?
Thanks for that great encouragement.
God bless. And let's go
to... I'd like to make one comment.
You go right ahead.
God sent to ancient Israel, who had turned their back upon him, the 10 northern tribes that were following Jeroboam, and they sinned and never turned back to God, but he sent prophets to them, and they preached. It wasn't in vain, because they got the warning message. God does not change. He is still sending prophets and so on to tell this nation, Britain and other nations that are his people, physically, maybe not spiritually, but physically they are, and he's telling them to turn back to him. And out of all the people that ever hear it, if just one does every 6 months, there is something being accomplished. Like I'm going to baptize four people in 2 weeks that live way up by Cincinnati, Ohio. Now that is directly because we have reached out and God opened their minds and said, I want to do what's right.
And I agree with you totally. Our job is to do our best and not to get discouraged. And to the people out there, just keep talking. You never know when something you said maybe will reinforce what somebody else has said. Oh, you never know how this is going to impact. But I will tell you that this is the greatest opportunity we have ever had. Things are going to get a lot worse. You're going to look back on today, here, they, what is the 8th of July, saying, those are the good old days, because believe me, so many more people are going to lose their jobs, their homes, there's going to be chaos, and all sorts of terrible things are going to happen. But the people who have heard our message and the message of Harry and others, some of them are going to remember, and hopefully it will transform their lives for eternity.
I think you hit it right on the head. They'll remember that they heard it.
Well, we've got David calling from Ohio. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Oh, sir. Revelations 9:7, when it talks about the shape of a locust or like horses prepared for battle, and it goes on to describe this creature, this insect from the bottomless pit. With our gene splicing technology anymore and the degree that these scientists are abusing the life sciences, this could actually happen, whether it's from man or from, Lucifer's time here on Earth. This is.
What are your thoughts on that, Dr. Smith?
Well, if I didn't catch the first part.
He's just talking about the genetic things that are going on, these genetic experiments that they're doing, taking animal genes and human genes and splicing them together to come up with new life forms.
Yeah, well, they're doing that right now, but in the book of Revelation where it talks about, I think it's the fifth trumpet, where these creatures come out of the bottomless pit, that is literal demons, and they can shape change. And they will have some kind of probably flying machine by which they will claim that they're gods. And they're coming and they're taking over the world for the good of mankind. And we'll just have to wait and see how it actually plays out. But remember, before the flood, those demons that left their first estate and they cohabited with women, and they were destroying the earth. Jesus Christ placed them in the abyss, and he went and preached to them and told them their fate. And so now they're going to be turned loose at the end of the age for a little season. And so this is going to be a part that they're playing in it to establish this one world government. The supernatural, therefore, everybody's going to think it is God.
Amen to that. Hey, we're going to have to let you go there. David, we got John calling from Texas. John, quick question because we're just about out of time.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, Noah preached for 120 years and never saved a soul, but the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And something else that crossed my mind, I used to get your newsletter, too, and you had a magazine called Will the Real Hillary Clinton Please Stand Up, and gave all the communist background. So it was interesting because you had Barack Obama in there also, and it was a real short thing, but you said he was associated with all the same organizations.
He sure is. Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, John. David, thank you very much for being with us. It's a real pleasure. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Dr. David Smith. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a fascinating hour. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. Well, we lost Dr. Smith there, and so, but basically, because I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Certainly, Dr. Smith's a very courageous fellow, a very courageous man on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Let me simply suggest some things that you need to get. One of them would be Pastor Billy Crone's book, The Final Countdown, which is basically the summary of his 10 talks that he gives on DVD. Now, we have 10 DVDs, 5 in Part 1 and 5 in Part 2, called The Final Countdown, Part 1, Part 2. You can get the book separately. Certainly, we have put the first 5 of the talks onto CDs, and if you want to get the first 5, that's the Countdown to Armageddon, Part 1. And we'll, when we have a chance, we'll get Part 2 and Part 3 made up, but right now you're going to have to put up with the Countdown to Armageddon, Part 1. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. And then get the book that goes along with that, our talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that, our talk on the Financial Armageddon and the syllabus goes with that. We actually have a 4-CD set on Financial Armageddon. Certainly, on many of the talks that we've been putting together recently, my interviews with Bob Chapman and Gerald Celletti and a number of other leading people, really give you a real feeling of what's going on. That's the 4-CD set, Financial Armageddon. One of the best sources of information about the people who really control our banking system is Pat Wood's talk on the Trilateral Commission. It's a DVD. It's a talk he gave at our October conference last year. All of these things are available. That's called the Trilateral Commission. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Talking about these animal-human hybrids. And we're going to have Tom Horn at our October 25th conference. He'll be coming to talk on these genetic transformations that they're actually working on and probably already have produced, half-human, half-animal. Not fiction, but really very real. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers. William Grieg will be with us. It's on October 25th. Of this year. It's a Sunday, but we do hope that you'll be able to be there at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and you can call now to make your reservations, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, you can order all the other items we talked to about, the DVDs on the Final Countdown, the book, The Final Countdown, the CD set on the Countdown to Armageddon, my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Forbidden Secret, and, of course, the Financial Armageddon, which is really very, very real. Oh, this whole economic system is falling apart, and it's not going to come back together, at least not as it was before. And this is being used to transform society and to impoverish our people and to transfer the wealth of the American people to foreign countries. And if you doubt that, you need to get the Earth Charter. If you get any of the other items, just ask for a copy of the Earth Charter. It was written by David Rockefeller's nephew, Stephen Rockefeller. They have Gorbachev's name and certainly Maurice Strong's name on there, but the man who really wrote it was Stephen Rockefeller, because the Rockefellers are deeply involved in the occult. And you must understand that behind everything that goes on are these powerful spiritual forces. So remember our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there. On the Internet, of course, we have satellite uplinks you can listen to. We have our shortwave. And we have our radio stations out across America. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty.